The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and Daniel Tagg, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I'm good. I'm getting ready. I've got those three little kittens. Did you see them on Facebook?
Oh, no. You have three little
kittens. I have got three little kittens. They lost their mittens and their mama. I'm their new mama. And I mean, I can't even take a shower with them, like, wanting to. When I'm in that back area, they just want me.
Attention.
They want me to. You know, and I do, but you know, right now I'm in the middle of planning a big party that's going to be tonight, a pool party for my daughter's 13th birthday party, my youngest one. And so we've just been running around like crazy again, up at like, you know, 6:37 and
just going. How many animals does this make it now?
I have 13 animals in my house.
Oh my goodness.
13 animals. Think about that. People go, I don't know how you do it.
It's like a farm.
I don't know how I do either. And I have 27 koi fish.
Oh, geez. Does that take a lot of work to get the koi fish all set up? I know nothing about fish.
No, I feed them every day. It's very interesting, though. You know, they react to what's going on in the house. They do.
Interesting.
And I've got a really nice pump outside my house that pretty much filters and takes care of anything. I have to backwash it about once a month. I don't do it all the time. A guy that helps do fix-it things around the house, Thomas, he does it for me.
Nice.
And so when I can't get to it, plus now, like, the top filter thing is so difficult to get off, you got to, like, hammer it off, and then you got to have almost have man arms in order to
twist it off,
yeah. Unless you were like a female bodybuilder or something. There's no way that the average female has that much muscle strength.
Man, why do you have to make it so hard?
Well, I think it's gotten hard over time because it's just getting older. It probably needs to be replaced.
Gotcha.
And I still don't have my car back either. So,
oh, geez.
And now I need new brake pads and new rotors. Oh. So that's expensive. And when I hit a pothole last week.
Those are everywhere in Dallas. Yeah. Dallas has the worst roads.
Well, it's from all the rain we've been having, and it gets underneath the gets underneath the concrete and the pavement and all that. And then if you think about it, so when you have to patch something, it's not as strong as when it's
the original,
whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it just.
Well, now, Daniel, you went on a, you know, an excursion across the USA.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Now, you never faced any really bad roads?
Not as bad as Dallas.
Really?
You went, you went up to, what, up 35 to Kansas, right? And
no.
Then over?
I went up 75 to Kansas City.
Oh, you took that instead of 35 up to Kansas City, huh?
Yeah, it's okay. A little bit more direct route.
75,
it
like Central, goes all the way to Kansas City?
Well, it goes 70, it turns to 75, and it turns into like 280 or 180 or something or other, and it goes almost all the way up to Kansas City. And I took some back roads, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
scenic road, in other words.
Yeah.
Well, then that leads to my next question, then, is they're not interstate, so are the roads halfway decent? Because, you know, you get up to that area, whether it's Oklahoma and Kansas, they have the most hellacious weather.
Yeah, the roads really weren't that bad. There was a few times there's construction and like they were uneven and stuff, and it got a little sketchy. But for the most part, it looked like all the roads were pretty darn good.
Well, I miss my car.
Yeah, and that's a problem about having nice things, too. Everything costs more.
Yeah, everything costs more, but it really is amazing to drive. I love to drive. I just do, and
that's
I
good.
Like to drive fast.
Yeah. Well, that's like me and my motorcycle. I don't necessarily
But not when other people are
fast.
Around, really. I just it's fun, and I could have been, I'm not being braggadocious, I really could have been a professional racer.
Driver?
Yes.
Nice.
I'm in agreement on that.
Yeah.
As far as driving, to me, you know, you're either a driver or you're not.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's therapeutic to me.
It is. I love road trips.
I know that if I could go home or, you know, a couple, in spring, went to Seattle to save my sweetie. but, you know, I would rather drive. And that was a really beautiful drive, you know, from through Washington and Oregon.
Oh,
and
it's beautiful.
Now,
out there.
It is.
It was a little bit, you know, not everything was super highway. So some of those roads and the elevation, it's like, okay, that would be great for you, Daniel, with
on a motorcycle.
Well,
Oh my God, those are.
But I don't mind. Like if I have to go home, I wish home being Wisconsin.
Right.
It's a straight shot up 35. Now it is a boring drive, but you know, I got my tunes, and and I am not one to also stop.
Right, me
I drive straight through, and then I'll go to a truck stop and maybe take a cat nap and then keep on going. I like driving at 1, 2, 3 in the morning.
When I go to Houston or I go to Oklahoma City, I tell my girls, did you pee? Because we're not stopping.
Yeah, that's the way I am, too. I love to go straight through,
You got
to
pee.
What was the astronaut that drove from Dallas to Orlando? This is about a decade ago that she wore a diaper.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Not that hardcore.
She was a little crazy because...
That's a little crazy. You got to get up and stretch your legs.
Well, her boyfriend was cheating on her in Orlando, so she was driving.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't you remember that story?
Yeah, I do remember the
story. Yeah, she didn't stop. She wore a diaper.
She should have picked up the
phone. It was a space-age diaper because she was an astronaut, too.
Right. Yeah. Saved yourself the trouble.
Jeez, no kidding.
Oh, boy.
But anyway.
Well, you know, back in the day, people used to do that. Is it Route 66?
Yes,
you know,
Route 66.
Where it actually ends on the dock in Los Angeles, where the, you know, where, what am I thinking of? In Santa Monica.
No, I know
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Now, have you rode the, what is Route 66 now?
I have no idea.
Didn't they kind of tear up part of it?
They tore up a lot of it, but you can still hit a lot of it. You know, I've driven on some of it in Colorado, and I mean, there's still pieces of it left. I just don't think it goes coast to coast anymore.
No.
Yeah, well, I can remember, you know, going from the camp, my family's camp, it was like a mile drive down the road. We used to call it the bumpy road, and go, faster, Daddy, faster, Daddy. And this is the crazy part, so you're not going to believe this, Lexi, because this is before your time. But we had a station wagon, and the back, the tailgate would be down. Is that what they call it? Yeah, the
tailgate. Yeah.
And we would sit on the tailgate while my father drove us down. I'm talking like on the road.
Yeah.
You know,
feet hanging off,
going
just
like he only went like 10 miles an hour, but it was like a thrill for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that can remember doing that. That you can't go very far, obviously, but I mean, I just used to love it when we got used to ride the tailgate. Yeah, so
it's fun.
I've got some really fun stuff here. Who here? Not you,
okay.
Danny. Do you have gray hair?
Yeah, I don't have hair.
I don't. Yeah, you do have gray hair, don't you? Do you know that there are 16 surprising home remedies for gray hair?
Oh, I don't. You know,
do you not wooey about it?
No, I'm getting gray or grayer, but no, I guess, you know, and my mom, they say it goes on from your mom's side. My mom is I don't want to say just now getting gray, but she does not color her hair.
Yeah.
And she's salt and pepper and she's 82.
Yeah.
She's not white.
No, my it's the same. Well, my genetics.
Her hair,
like
so.
I probably will never get gray hair. I just don't. I was white.
I would love gray hair.
She's very
Caucasian. I would have hair.
That's funny.
No, you were bald young, weren't you?
Oh yeah, I started losing my hair at 16. It was great fun in high school.
Don't know, Danny. Be more forward with.
Just no, you were
that's good.
It's like my dad. I see pictures of my dad back in the college days, and he had a full moon by the time he was in college.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the leading causes of gray hair is
stress.
Emotional stress.
Yes, stress.
Emotional stress will turn you gray prematurely, and then improper diet.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Hair dyes and hot water.
I've heard that
I took. I had to take a cold shower this morning, too, because my hot water's out.
They say that's actually really good for you,
though. I know. Dave Esprey put it, I actually put it on our Facebook page, was saying all the benefits of it.
Tons of people do that,
I actually try to read it here during one of the...
Well, you know, you're talking about stress in hair color. Look at the presidency of the United States. How many presidents go into office and they come out
gray.
Basically white?
Yeah.
Well, and listen
to this. Look at, you know, Clinton. Came in and he was in by the time he left office. Now, granted, it's 8 years older, but still, look at Obama.
Obama's
a young man when he went into office and he came out looking older.
Yes.
Not old, but older.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Takes a toll.
And quickly. Well, it says that one of the 16 surprising home remedies for gray hair is protein intake.
Huh.
Because as hair is made up of protein called keratin, a protein-rich diet will help increase its production and will improve hair growth.
How about shoe polish?
How about what? Shoe
polish? About shoe polish?
My father swore by the apple cider vinegar. And it does. And you know, no, you know what?
When my Patricia grandfather had Bragg Vitalis.
I'm serious. A Vitalis. That's funny.
Yeah.
But yes, apple cider vinegar because of the good bacteria. Uh-huh. And it's true. Patricia Braggs was on the show just a couple of weeks ago. Okay. So it talks about vitamin mineral intake. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Indian gooseberry. Indian gooseberry, amaranth, black tea with salt. See, Danny? Coconut oil. They say many people think this is grandma's old trick, but studies have shown that the regular application of oils such as coconut oil help the hair damage and slow down graying of the hair. And, of course, avoid stress. And then henna. Application of henna paste on the hair is another popular home remedy for gray hair. And there you go. And then here's some more. ginger and honey, ribbed gourd, cow's milk, and neem oil, and sesame. Sesame seeds particularly.
Interesting.
So interesting stuff, right?
Yeah, I like
so
that.
The key to that is eat well. I didn't say anything about exercise. I bet that helps, too.
I bet you it does, yeah.
Of course. Well, it helps your stress.
Yeah, it does.
So there you go. Well, we've got an incredible show lined out today. We've got Dr. Jacob Tettelbaum coming up. We're going to be talking about beet sugar addiction now. Rosalie Robinson, email and text etiquette, and Daniel Tay, kettlebells and recovery. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why.
Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta-Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta-Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Do you want to reverse the early signs of aging? Hi, this is Bernadette. Do what I do. Pixel Perfect is an aesthetic laser treatment that lifts away years from your face. It can help reverse the early signs of aging and helps counteract years of sun damage or acne scarring. It provides noticeable results. Imagine a dramatic new you. To learn more, go to LynnRobertsMD.com. That's L-Y-N-N-E, RobertsMD.com. Or called 469-232-9300. That's 469-232-9300. And tell them that Bernadette sent you. Back to On Life Radio, this is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Rosalie Robinson in studio with me and Daniel Tagg. Rosalie Robinson is the president and founder of Consilium Human Capital and vice president of human resources for Meg Retail Group. She's our in-house human resources expert. And Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center. He is certified in orthokinetics and biomechanics of resistance training, and he's also a licensed massage therapist, and he holds three different martial arts systems.
Belts in martial arts systems. That'd be cool if I helped systems.
My mind just slipped right over the belt. Oh, my gosh. So what do we want? We want to talk about the email and texting etiquette first.
I want to learn about this. This is something I need.
Are you ready to roll with this?
We're ready to roll. Just go ahead. You ask.
All right.
Away.
Well, so I thought it was a good subject, and especially in a work circumstance, I thought there are rules that should be adhered to, and so I looked to you, Rosalie, for the expertise.
Well, I had to do some research, and I was breaking some of the rules.
Okay. And are you breaking some of the rules?
I was. I stopped.
Okay. Really? Okay.
I did.
So tell me what they are.
Okay. So, you know, I loved it. There was a lot of different things written on it, and there's a blog. It's really old, actually. It's like nearly, 8 years old. You know, texting and etiquette and email. And I think all of them had a consistent theme. And one of the points, which I thought was really good and profound, you know, we in this age of technology are all about fast, right? Fast.
I got annoyed because the gas pump wasn't going fast enough this morning.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not kidding. I'm like, I don't have time for this because it was going real slow. Does anybody, and I know there's people out there that have that happen. It's annoying, when you're in a hurry and you know.
And so, you know, when you want something and you go, well, all right, I left Daniel a message. I'm just going to follow up with an email because, you know, I'm sure he didn't get my message yet. And so let me send the email.
Oh.
And then 2 minutes later, you're walking and you think, you know what? He has his phone. Let me text him. I have now become the stalker.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So one of the most important things is consider first, what am I trying to communicate and what's the level of urgency with what I'm communicating? Because if it's something I got to have it right away, there's really an urgency to it. It's maybe even a little more complicated. I probably want to pick up the phone and call the person and say, hey, do you have time right now to talk to me briefly so that you could either schedule a time, give them a little heads up as to what you want to talk about so you can schedule the right amount of time and then move forward from there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But don't become the stalker that leaves a message.
Yeah.
Then emails and then texts on the same subject.
Yeah. Now, so Lexi, Marie, Danny, you guys all know that, you know, if there's an email I didn't see, I want you to throw me a text because, you know, I hate my email. I do. I feel like it owns me and I just get really, I run from it almost, you know?
So I get that.
I'll check it in the morning or late at night, but during the day, unless I know something's going on, I just don't.
Yeah.
Ask you this. How many emails around the room? How many emails does everybody have? Far as I'm like thinking, I got five emails, but I only really two of them I pay attention to, and the other is kind of the junk. And then I got two other emails that are for like Facebook that I never look at because you have to have an email to sign up with Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that.
I've got three. I've got the radio show. I've still got Adrift because, you know, I'm still in the process of moving it. And I get a lot of inquiries. And even info at Adrift Float Spot. We're still monitoring that. We're still monitoring the phone for
it.
Okay,
so you have three.
And my personal. So you could actually say four.
I have three.
You have three?
I have three.
So three's pretty much the going rate then, right? You have your business, you have your personal, and then you have another one that's probably just your junk or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. What? So is that pretty normal, Rosalie?
Well, again,
how many do you have?
I have six.
Oh,
six.
My goodness. Yes.
And how many passwords? Then do you have six passwords?
I find
passwords?
That very interesting. Now, would you like to disclose why you have six? Oh, come on. It'll be fun. Is one of them like your secret lover email?
So, you know, you get all this junk mail, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to give junk mail people my email address. So I got an email that I only use when I want to get this download. Yeah, here's that. So
that's
I
my pay. Yahoo.
Yeah.
So okay. That's my Yahoo.
I have crap that goes there. I don't even care what's in a box. It's just I go to fish out what I want, right? I have an email for my company. two different emails, two different companies, right? Then I had my married email, right? Mm. And then after I got divorced, I have
That's why
my
you never change your name.
Email.
And it costs money to change it back. Did you
know
that?
Yes, it does. It does cost money. I know that personally. Yes, because I had my name changed. So so that's how I ended up with six, right?
You know, just out of curiosity, this might not be what we're talking about, but if you're starting a business or if you want to look for a job or do you think it looks better on your resume or it looks better to whomever you're dealing with to have an email that's not either Yahoo or Gmail, to have your own email like danielmiles@awebsite.com?
No, I don't think that matters, whether it's Yahoo, AOL, Gmail, or, you know.
Or a personalized email.
Yeah. What I would tell you matters more is don't have hot bod Dan, at gmail.com.
Right.
Have, Danny Miles.
Have your name.
Well, and for a business, even a hotmail is like, how do you take somebody serious with a Hotmail?
Well, it's a mail provider. So it's like,
Hotmail was, is that still around?
Yeah.
People still have it that.
People still have that. But the big thing is people have these like cutesy emails and stuff. And then you go out and you're trying to apply for a job and some of them, they don't realize what it says. Like, I mean, some of them are pretty crass, right? And rude. And so you don't want that impression in a professional environment.
Right.
Yeah. And so when we talk about like the whole idea of texting versus calling versus emailing, when the interesting things that I learned is before you start texting someone, you probably want to make sure, is that okay? Because I get your phone number and your cell number on a business card.
Right. That doesn't mean it's okay to text.
That doesn't mean it's okay for you to text me. I don't know you. Who are you?
Right.
Yeah. So you really want to ask the person, would you mind if I texted you? So going back to what you said, hey, I don't really want you to email me because I don't even look at my mail, which is to Danny's point, how many email boxes do we have?
Right.
So it really helps first in a business situation, ask people, how would you prefer that I communicate with you?
I do that one. So I got that one right.
I do that one when
I get new clients. Is it okay if I text you?
That is excellent.
And then you have to be careful even how you broach that because I had a circumstance a couple of weeks ago when we were at that event and handed someone a business card and he said, can I call you? And I said, I prefer email. And he looked at me really weird. And I just, I said, well, if you need to, yes, but I prefer email. But people can take that the wrong way too, you know?
Well, how many numbers can you have? You can have a number that just goes to voicemail, right?
A
separate number, so you can kind of give out that number if you don't want to give out your personal number.
For sure. And I actually do that. So I have a number that is public. I publish and I give out to people. And then I have a number I never give out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, people can hack your number and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah.
You want to kind of control who has your number.
That's the one I have here, 555. The old Hollywood prefix, 555.
Daniel actually brought up a funny thing before we went live today. He was talking about how girls can get away with using a lot of emojis. And exclamation points and smiley faces.
Yes.
But if men do that, that they're not taken seriously.
Yeah, I know. And that's another point, right? So they said just because in technology we have these emojis and all these things that we can use that are cutesy, that's great. But when you're texting in a business setting, keep it concise.
Keep it. Mm-hmm.
Keep it professional.
Short and sweet.
And keep it short. Get to the point. And then the other thing that people have trouble with is to say goodbye. Right?
Yes.
So, goodbye. Oh, no, goodbye. You have a great day.
Oh,
well,
I know. Okay,
you?
So how do you do that?
That's the old Hollywood or the old holiday goodbye. See ya. Hi. Bye. The whole family's out in the driveway, right? Bye.
Yeah.
And 30 minutes later, you're still saying bye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to make it, okay, have I finished getting what I needed or giving you what you needed? Now it's time. Thanks so much. I'll follow up later.
How about after a while,
later.
Crocodile?
That works, too, if you know him well. If you know him well, Bernadette.
Don't leave you know him well. Okay.
Yeah, otherwise, maybe not.
How about see ya, don't want to be ya?
No, let's leave that. Let's leave that out. But the other thing is pay attention to when you're messaging or calling, right? So a lot of times when we're friends, like you and I are friends, I probably wouldn't think twice about like texting you something funny late in the evening, right? But I wouldn't do that with friends or with workers. People I work with, I wouldn't text them after 7 p.m. at night.
Yeah, I have a funny text from a friend of mine, Cindy, the other day. I was thinking about her, so I texted her, said, hey, how you doing, sister? And I said, oh, and by the way, I've got three little kittens. She said, oh, you're trying to dump those kittens on me? She said, I know your witchy ways.
Oh! my gosh.
Which is funny. It made me think of it. Oh, my gosh, everyone. Stay tuned. We've got a great show coming up. Continuing on here, we've got Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He is the author of Beat Sugar Addiction Now. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Did you know, when depressed, sheep hang their heads and avoid company? But if content, they socialize and wag their tails like puppies. Rams lean against stone walls so that other sheep can stand on their backs to reach high grasses. Sheep recognize each other by facial features, and when shown photographs, they can remember at least 50 other sheep and 10 human beings, even if they haven't seen them for 2 years. At Poplar Springs Sanctuary, you'll meet rescued sheep, like Fanny, who was found tied to a mailbox, and Adam, who escaped ritual sacrifice. Visitors' faces echo Anatole France's words, "Until one has loved an animal, a part of one's soul remains unawakened." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us that it's easy to be kind, perhaps by choosing faux fleece.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Rosalie Robinson in studio and Daniel Tagg and Jacob Teitelbaum. Hopefully we'll be on here in a couple of minutes. And so we're going to start with you, Daniel, until we hear further about kettlebells and recovery. So I had the latest issue. Here it is. I got stuff everywhere. Hold on a second. So I've got the latest issue. Rosalie, you want to look? Were you here last week?
Yeah,
did you get
to
check it out?
I was here.
Okay,
last
the
week.
Men's health, and we're talking about kettlebells.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great example.
Yes, it is.
The guy with his shirt off.
Okay. So, well, you know, so he talks about, prone start, the hip bridge, the leg sweep, the half kneel, the stand up. I mean, I work with kettlebells a lot. In fact, I've got these exact kettlebells, the gorilla ones from Onnit that I used to sell at Adrift. I have these kettlebells, but in three different weights. Okay. And I love my kettlebells.
Yeah.
You know,
tool.
I do, because my favorite exercise with my, I think they're 25 pounds, is I do I'm really bad about naming the exercises. So I go like this, okay. And then I jump back. Go into a...
Go like what and do what?
Yeah, she... I don't even understand this
So
one.
I'm like, I'm up, I'm like this on the kettlebells. Hold on a second.
Okay, she's demonstrating again. So I'll try to let you guys know what she's doing. She's running around. Okay, so she's going down in a squat, picking them up like a deadlift.
Okay, and then...
Oh, so she's almost doing like a burpee type thing, yeah. But with kettlebells. Go down a squat and then do the bottom part of a burpee or an up-down. Have you never heard of burpees before?
I have, but that just sounds hard to do with a kettlebell.
Oh, it's like, fun.
To do the burpees.
Well,
I've
first,
seen
you,
them
you
with
jump
weights.
Back yeah. first. Yeah. I did it opposite because I just did.
No, no, no.
Yeah. No, I get down. So I yeah. get down like in a and I like a squat position, but yeah. then I jump my I push my legs to the back.
And go into a push-up
and
position.
And go into like to a plank.
Yeah, push-up. Yeah. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I come back out of the plank yeah. and jump my legs in between the two kettlebells, and then I pick it up and go completely, and then I engage my back shoulders.
Yeah.
So I'm working out my whole body. I mean, it's such a good workout. It
it's
really, really
from
is.
From a squat to a plank or a push-up position and mm-hmm. pushing it right back up and going, yeah. picking and then, them up and going back to the squat.
Yeah. yeah. And you can do it in a different a squat or kind of you can also, you know, raise your body like more kind of like a deadlift mm-hmm. instead of a squat right. if you want to. But yeah. So what do you think about that? Is that...
That one, if you can control all the different movements that you're doing, I like that because you're not having to use momentum or anything else.
But that's where you get into trouble, right? When you start swinging them around.
Yeah, when you start swinging them around, that's when you get into trouble with inertia, momentum, and that 25 pounds might be 100 plus pounds at the right. bottom, and you're taking that on the lower back and some other things that are not good.
Yeah, and yeah. it doesn't take much to twist. I mean, people no. can... you know, throw out their back just bending over and picking something up.
Exactly.
And you don't have to be old for that to happen. So the kettlebell just can exacerbate the potential for injury.
Yes. It's just like any other piece of equipment in the gym. They are all tools to be used in the right area of what you want to get out of the exercise.
Well, so are kettlebells good for everyone?
No, they're not because... Just like any tool, some tools aren't going to be, every lift isn't going to be great for everyone. Every, you know, dumbbells aren't going to be great for everyone. It depends on the person and what they want to get out of it. So if they're a highly athletic person and they're strong like you, they're going to be good and used in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have, you know.
I don't swing them around, though. Yeah, I never swing them around.
Exactly. But you get like, you know, a 90-year-old person in there and they're using them, that's probably not going to be a great
one. Well, no, you know
them.
What? There is one exercise that Tina taught me where I do swing it around, but I swing it. Okay, so I'm going to do it again. Here's what I do.
Okay, she's going to demonstrate again. I like these.
Oh,
it's always fun.
So funny.
She gets up. Okay, let's see. So she's holding it in between her legs and she swings it up and lets it come back down. It looks like it's hitting her in the groin area. But no, I know the one you're talking about. So
no, I don't even know what that does.
Yeah, so that is... One that you have to be very careful when it's back down to the bottom in between your legs and you go into spinal flexion if you do.
Yeah, it's to throw your hips forward and build the strength in your hips.
Yeah, so that one, ideally, if you're building it up and you're bringing the weight up, ideally you'd actually want to let go of the weight, and then that would be a good exercise. You should not have to make sure that weight can land somewhere safely.
Right.
It's the coming back down that has a potential to be a lot more damaging on certain muscles and the lower back.
I was just going to say that. Looks like one of those exercises that really could harm you if you're not done.
If you're not strong. Yeah.
Well, if it's not done right or with the proper trainer.
Well, it's good for your quads, too, when you're doing that because you don't lock out your knees and they're fully engaged the whole time. We do it like 25, 30 times, and it's really a good strength exercise. But what are some of the benefits of using kettlebells?
The benefits are kind of, I like that the grip system, right? Because it has that real grip thing. So you can use it for doing squats like you're doing.
Right.
You could use it to do push-ups on, and if you don't want to come down all the way to the ground or you want to go past the ground and you want your wrist to be straight, right? You can use them for that.
Yeah.
I like the handle system. That is one of the greatest benefits for me. And you can do so many different things with them, right?
Well, yeah, I couldn't do a jump back into a plank position unless they were, you know, at least 20, 25 pounds apiece because then they get wobbly and you could end up breaking your wrist or something.
You know, exactly. How much are they far as per pound?
That's a good question. I mean, Bernadette, was that 25
pounder? Well, the Onnit ones are fancy because they're, you know, they got the face of like an ape on them. They were, I think, $100 a piece. But,
yeah, but just your
but they're,
normal kettlebell.
But they're a
kettlebell.
Special one. The normal kettlebell, I think they're pretty expensive, though. I know. I've bought some in Target before. The Onnit came out with those.
So it's not like $1 a pound? It's,
no.
I found them actually, my first one in Target, and I think I paid $40, $50 for it.
Yeah.
They're expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're expensive to ship too. So that's why, we would sell a lot of them at Adrift because people didn't want to pay the shipping, but we would have it in house, you know, in our retail section.
I'm going to switch real quickly here from kettlebells to you see a lot of this for those who are on Facebook, and you see it over at the gym across the parking lot here, Daniel. Is you got the ropes, you got the, you don't see the big truck tires, but the tires and those type of workouts. Are you a proponent for those?
you know, in the right atmosphere, I think it makes workout a lot more fun.
Yeah.
But it does look fun.
Again, if you look at how they're picking up those tires, they're going into this posterior tuck thing where they're tucking from their lower back, and then they're using their back to come up. And
I think you almost have to be somewhat professionally trained in order to do those types of exercises.
Well, you see J.J. Watt, you know, his workouts, he takes those tractor tires, and it's like me taking a bicycle tire.
Man, it feels so good to be strong again, though. I'm starting to get my strength back where I can, I mean, it just feels so good to be able to just pick heavy stuff up.
You know, another
Seriously.
Well, speaking of picking stuff up or heavy stuff up, I saw this just recently, and I never really thought of this, but they're taking kegs. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they're probably emptier. Maybe some of them have, you know, are like half. Well, they wouldn't be half full, but they would probably be heavy. But doing keg tosses, you know, onto, you know, or bale. You know, you see this a lot on farms.
Mm-hmm. Bales. I did a lot of that.
Hay bales. Throwing those.
That's a workout.
But I can imagine you have to really, really worry about your back or you know, pinching a nerve or slipping a disc.
It's definitely a more complicated movement and a higher risk movement. Anytime you do an exercise, there's a cost versus benefit. So you want to try to take the cost as low as possible or the ability to injure yourself with as great a maximal benefit as possible when you pick an exercise.
What do you think about those little slidey discs? You know, that you slide on the floor?
I think those are great, again, used in the right way.
Right.
Doing, you know, you go out, you bring it back in side to side, you go back into a lunge, you come up. I think it's a great tool.
What do you wear, those little socks? Is that the
same thing?
Yeah. So I do that with the kettlebells where I slide out or a reverse lunge with a kettlebell on one arm and then switch and do the other leg. But they really do, you know, encourage muscle growth, of course, because you're lifting weights. And they help keep me balanced because I like to work out I like to train in my bare feet. It makes Tina crazy. but yeah, I do because I just like being barefoot.
Well, you get better proprioception with bare feet for squats and other things because there's mechanoreceptors in your heel that actually help the glute fire more effectively. But again, it's dangerous if you drop something on your foot. So there's a cost versus benefit there.
Yeah, absolutely. What else do you want people to know about kettlebells?
Just the biggest thing is it's a tool. If used in the right way, it can be a very good thing. If used in the wrong way, it can be a very dangerous thing.
Well, and we were going to talk about this too. Well, you know what? If Dr. Teitelbaum, if he isn't, if we haven't gotten a hold of him, we're going to continue to talk about this because last week we wanted to talk about recovery.
Yes.
And we didn't get to the five email rules, the other ones. We only got to the first one. So we're going to mix it up here in this last quarter of the game.
Yeah, so, I like that.
Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Hi, it's Bernadette. Introducing Charlotte's Web new hemp-infused coffee. Cannabis coffee that doesn't get you high. Boost your morning with antioxidants and neuroprotectants. A calm cup of coffee for improved focus and clarity. Charlotte's Web new 5280 hemp-infused coffee from Snow Street Coffee and Charlotte's Web. Dedicated to quality and responsibly sourced products. Colorado companies Snow Street Coffee and CW Hemp have come together to create a great tasting coffee that features the unique benefits of cannabinoids. In creating this coffee, great taste was and is the priority. Roasted in small batches, 5280 Coffee blends a mix of diverse coffees from the Central American highlands. Their whole bean coffee is always roasted medium for full coffee flavor and balance, and then infused with a blend of CW cannabinoid extract in MCT-rich coconut oil. Once combined with the unmatched care that goes into Charlotte's Web, the results are a fantastic cup of coffee with an added daily health and wellness boost. Available in a 12-ounce resealable bag with 500 milligrams of Charlotte's Web hemp extract. Find them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, Rosalie Robinson, Daniel Tagg, and our very special guest today, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He is a medical doctor and is board certified internist and nationally known expert in the fields of chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, sleep, and pain. He is also the director of the Practitioners Alliance Network, that's PAN, and author of numerous books, including The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, and the best-selling book, From Fatigue to Fantastic, and the one that I'm holding in my hand, Beat Sugar Addiction Now. And so, Dr. Teitelbaum, such a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome to One Life Radio.
Bernadette, great to be with you guys.
Yeah, and of course, you know, this sugar thing is such a big topic, and it really, really is. The average American adult consumes 150 pounds of sugar every year, and this is a problem. It really, really is. So, Dr. Teitelbaum, what should we do?
Well, first of all, it's good to realize that not all sugar is bad for you. For example, chocolate is actually a health food in moderation. If you eat just a little bit of chocolate, like a small square each day, that's associated with a 45% lower risk of heart attack death. So, again, it's okay to enjoy your pleasures. But when you go to the store, you got to know how to read that sugar price tag. Because, you know, unless you know how to interpret the label, you can't tell. So here's a simple trick. Look at that nutrition bar on the package. Look at grams of sugar, divide by 4. That's how many spoons of sugar there are in a portion.
Oh, wow.
So if you look at something like a 48-ounce Big Burp soda, and you do that calculation, you're going to see there's 36 spoons of sugar.
Oh, my gosh.
It's nasty.
Wow.
And you're going to know to put it back. So, you know, it can be really simple if you know how to read the label and basically see what the price tag is. But, Bernadette, should we tell people about some symptoms of excess sugar that may surprise them?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this. Why is sugar so darn addictive?
Well, there's a number of reasons. There's 4 main types of sugar addiction, and number one is that it causes fatigue. Sugar is an energy loan shark. And so you take the sugar, you get a quick boost of energy, but 45 minutes, an hour later, it's gone and twice as gone. So for people who want to get healthy energy, it's ironic, but we've done several studies showing that there's a special healthy sugar called ribose. You can't get it in food. That actually increases energy an average of 61%.
Yeah, so, I've seen it before, but you don't see a lot of it. Where does it come from? And you think it'll become more and more common that they use this in products instead of sugar?
It's not really, because you don't need very much to get the energy. So what I recommend for people, for those of you who are tired, let me give you 2 tips. Number one, the best 30 seconds you'll spend for energy all day, get a vitamin powder called the Energy Revitalization System. You take 1 scoop of that, and you take 1 scoop of ribose, and I would get the Shine ribose. Put that in a glass, add water, stir with a fork. And what the research shows is that at the end of 1 month, your energy will increase an average of over 61%, which is, well, think about it.
Wow.
61% more energy. Then you don't have to reach for the sugar. And if you have more severe fatigue, you can go to a website. There's a free energy analysis program. It's a quiz you can do, and it'll tell you in 10 minutes what you need to do to optimize your energy. That can be found at endfatigue.com. fatigue.com. So E, unlike Nancy, D like David.
Yeah, and we'll actually get this information from you and put it in a blog or on our social media so that people have it for those out there driving that can't write it down or text it to someone. You know, but we were talking about that earlier in the show, which is kind of funny. So, you know, there are four different types of sugar addiction. Can you explain each one?
Yep, the first one are people who are just exhausted and they're using it as an energy loan shark.
The Snickers commercials are wrong?
Well, that's the second type of sugar addiction, is people who get irritable when hungry. You know that irritability, and it's Phoebe now or
yeah, hangry.
Mm-hmm. And if anybody gets between you and that Snickers bar, it's like getting between a mama bear and their cub. It's like, you know. So... but the thing is that one of the worst things you can do for that is to eat sugar, because you'll feel better for about a half hour, and then it's going to put you on an emotional roller coaster. So let me give you a different trick instead. When you get the hangries, just keep a couple packets of sugar in your pocket, and all it takes is a half a teaspoon of sugar, pour it under your tongue.
Really?
And that will go into the bloodstream quickly and break the low blood sugar attack, so you don't claw out your friend's eyes or your wife or husband's eyes. And that'll break the attack. And then eat protein. Eat a hard-boiled egg, some nuts, some meat or cheese, anything with protein, because that will give you a stable sugar. And a nice simple thing for that, and you'll find a lot of people who are in marriage counseling, divorce lawyers, it's because they've got exhaustion of their adrenal stress handler gland and low blood sugar. So you cut back the sugar. I'll give people something called adrenal stress end, which is a herbal mix that really supports their adrenal stress handler gland and smooths out those moods. But it's pretty easy to take care of, and like I said, a lot cheaper than divorce lawyers.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually know someone that is exactly what's going on in their home right now, and they're in counseling. She's just exhausted, and I do think it's got something to do with the sugar addiction. Now, after hearing you say that, well, let me ask you this: so, is all that information in the book "Beat Sugar Addiction Now," Dr. Teitelbaum?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what is the role of yeast in sugar addiction?
Now, yeast grow by fermenting sugar. So, for example, if you want to make beer, you take the sugar and hops, put it in a tank with yeast, and it'll ferment it, and it'll make beer and a lot of gas. So when you get a yeast overgrowth in the gut, when you're taking one of those sodas and pouring it down your throat with those 36 spoons of sugar, you've made your gut into a fermentation tank, and the yeast are partying. You've never seen a tailgate party like it. And they make a lot of gas, too.
Oh, they do. I've actually used to make a lot of pizzas. And when we make the dough, you put, you know, the yeast in the we had a big Hobart mixer. But I used to have fun. And I used to, when I would explain to the people, you know, that worked for me, how to make the dough and what was happening with the dough. And I would, you know, the sugar, you're right. I mean, the yeast just explodes when you put the sugar in. It's interesting to actually watch it in a bowl when you make homemade bread. But I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I thought it's just fascinating. If you could go to iTunes or whatever you call it and Google a video of it.
Yeah,
YouTube, sorry. Okay, so back to this, Dr. Teitelbaum. So,
Bernadette, you nailed it. When your gut's feeling the same way as a dough that's rising, that's gas from yeast overgrowth.
I get it now. I never even really until you said that put that together. But absolutely, I would encourage everyone to actually do it in a bowl of warm water so you can understand what's going on in your body. So you talk about sugar substitutes also, Dr. Teitelbaum. What are your thoughts on that?
My favorite one is stevia. It's a good natural one. You can find all kinds of different brands that taste good. And I'll use it. I think you can have all you want. I think it's a very healthy, safe sweetener. A lot of the other ones, you know, the jury's still out. And my personal feeling is that it's okay to use them just in moderation. And I would mix them up a bit. So if you're using, you know, a product that has NutraSweet versus one that has the sweet and low, your body does better with a low dose of several things than having a super high amount of one. I think they're much, much, much safer than the sugar drinks.
What about xylitol?
Xylitol is good. Xylitol will help your bones grow strong, keep your teeth from rotting, but also it's a laxative. So as long as it's not having that too much of a gotta run kind of effect, It's a very good healthy sweetener. Erythritol, which is another sugar alcohol, doesn't have that laxative effect. So any of the ones that end in OL, which are sugar alcohols, they're fine as long as they don't give you the runs.
Yeah, and aspartame, I avoid it at all cost. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. I think that it never should have been approved. I don't want to get into the politics.
Right.
Of it,
thank you for saying that, though. It takes guts to even say that.
Yeah, it's, I don't, you know, in moderation, it's okay. But if people have headaches or other problems that are unexplained, come off the aspartame for 10 days, come off the MSG for 10 days, and you may be surprised to see those headaches and other things go away. But if you feel fine and your body's handling it okay, then, again, better than sugar.
You know, that's another thing, too, MSG. That's hidden in so many foods.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, you go to a Chinese buffet, you know, for lunch, and then an hour later, you're kind of lethargic and angry.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes if you just leave these things out of your diet for 10 days and then put them back in, you'll then be able to notice what they're causing. So what I tell people, again, is, if you feel great, then what you're doing is working. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Carry on.
We've got about 30 seconds, Dr. Teitelbaum. I apologize for the interruption, but I wanted to specifically ask you about maltodextrin because that also is in so many products. What are your thoughts on that?
Sugar.
It's still sugar. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people don't know that it also, you know, spikes your glycemic index, double that of table sugar based on the research that I have read. So not good stuff, right?
No. It's just read labels, divide grams of sugar by 4, you'll know.
Yeah. Well, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. It really, really is. This is such a big topic for so many people that want to get off the sugar train. So thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today.
My pleasure.
All right, everyone. You know what? Thank you, Dr. Teitelbaum. Hopefully we can get him back. Interesting stuff. Really, really interesting stuff. Everyone, download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world or go to iHeartMedia.com and listen live from your mobile device. We are now podcasting in several different places like Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud, and TuneIn. You can also go to our website, OneLifeRadio.com, to subscribe to our newsletter. And a big shout out to our sponsors, Crazy Water, Charlotte's Web, Squatty Potty, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Sun Warrior, and our newest sponsor, the One Stop Paleo Shop. It's just onestoppaleoshop.com. Everyone, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.